Introducing the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast, your window into the lives and ministries of pastors faithfully serving evangelical churches in your local communities. Hosted by Jeremy G. Woods and brought to you by Faith Venture Media and EvangelicalDirectory.com, this podcast is dedicated to showcasing the impactful work of evangelical churches making a difference in their local communities. Through engaging interviews, each episode provides a platform for local pastors to share their unique journeys, the meaningful programs they lead, and their unwavering commitment to serving the Lord. Discover the personal stories behind these dedicated leaders and learn how you can join their church on this journey. Tune into the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast for insightful conversations that highlight the essential role of pastors in building strong, connected communities. These churches are also featured on evangelicaldirectory.com. Subscribe now and join this movement of connecting local churches with their communities.
You're listening to the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast, where we highlight the stories of faithful pastors making an impact in the local communities. Our goal is to introduce you to the ministries serving your local area and share how God is working through these leaders to advance His kingdom. I'm Jeremy Woods, Church Growth Coach and CEO of Faith Venture Media, as well as President of Potter's House Ministries Romania. Today, we're honored to welcome Pastor John Goodwin of Heartland Bible Church in Gaspard, New York. John has been married for nearly 24 years, has three children, and has served in full-time ministry for 20 years. He's passionate about volunteering at a community level, meeting tangible community needs, dabbles in the hunting industry for fun, and is a hunting influencer, a regular guest and co-host on the Christian Outdoors podcast. He's a regular guest on the show and is transitioning to become a co-host. Currently, the show averages 380,000 downloads a month. We'll be talking about his journey into ministry, the vision behind Heartland Bible Church, and how the church is serving the people of Gaspard. If you're looking for a church home or simply want to be learning more about the faith, this episode is for you. John, for those in your local community who may not know you, can you introduce yourself and share how you came to serve as pastor at Heartland Bible Church?
Sure thing. Yeah, I've been here for almost it'll be 17 years this March, so next month, which is hard to believe. And I actually grew up in the church up until about the age of 14. And my family left and went to a different church. But right around, oh goodness, I think about when I was in my early 20s, my parents actually went back to Heartland. I was serving in the middle of the state of New York as a youth pastor for a number of years and felt like God was calling me to move. My family had two little kids at the time. And right about the same time, there was an opening for an associate pastor role at Heartland. And the pastor who actually was my pastor when I was a kid was still at the church. He was here a total of about 35 years. So he heard that I was looking and started to kind of pester me a little bit and tried to recruit me, and it worked. So I came here, like I said, it'll be 17 years next month. Served 4 years as the associate pastor. And then upon his retirement, I served 1 year as the interim, and now I've been the senior pastor for about 12 years. So it's been quite the journey, because we've not only did we move here, but shortly after moving here, we had our third child, who was 12 weeks early. So it was quite the journey. All three of my kids were preemies, but we also relocated the church. So they had been talking for years about building a new facility, and the local Catholic diocese actually was closing a number of facilities, and there was one in our area that was only about 40 years old. So it was a very nice facility, sits on about 7 acres, and we purchased that, and we've been here for, oh goodness, probably about 15 years now in our facility. So yeah, it's been fun.
What makes Heartland Bible Church unique compared to other churches in your area?
I would say that, well, that's a good question. I would honestly say our focus on meeting community needs. So part of what part of the responsibilities that I had when I came to Heartland 17 years ago was that I ran a facility called the Hub. And that facility is a community center that's actually located one town away. And it's right down the road from the middle school and high school of our in our area here, and close enough that the kids can walk to this facility after school. And so the church, for I want to say close to 20 years, has had that facility available to our community free of charge, just so we can bless the folks in our community. So we're open multiple days a week with an after-school program for junior high and senior high. We have a youth group that runs there on Sunday night. Currently, we've also opened the doors to the local community food pantry runs out of that building. We don't run the food pantry, but we have provided a space in the facility to meet that need. There's also a art class that runs on Mondays, which is more for students who might not have the means to pay for that. It's all grant-based programming. So again, that gets more kids in there to be able to do that. And most recently, we have actually opened a before and after school program here at our church as well. Our church is located right next to an elementary school. And this past spring, the school announced that they no longer would be able to have a before and after school program because they'd run out of funding. It was essentially funded by COVID money, a COVID grant of some sort. Well, the funds ran out, and you could see on Facebook, there were parents and the public were just, there was an outcry of, we don't know what we're going to do with our kids. We can't afford childcare. We also can't afford not to work. So we established a before and after school program here at the church that is a scholarship-based program. So basically everybody that is, if they have kids between kindergarten through fourth grade and they attend the Royalton Heartland School District, we provide free childcare for them on every day of the week during the school year. So that, and then I think along with that, one of the things that's been a blessing to me is I actually am the president of a local youth baseball organization. My elder board refers to it as my ministry. So we've moved elders boards, elders meetings and things, so I can be at baseball games, so I can run meetings with my board, my baseball board. And it's just been a great opportunity to serve the community outside of the church and just, show the love of Christ in a very tangible way. So I think that's really kind of unique again in that it's part of the lifeblood of the church. We've invested a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of time into just blessing our community and expecting nothing back in return.
And if someone is new to the faith or has never been to church before, what would you say to them about why they should consider coming?
Well, I think number one, I think that community focus. We are very much a come as you are, and we try to meet people where they're at, which is why we have programs that are meeting tangible needs. We recognize that this world is messy and people need help, and we're okay with that. And I do believe, and I know every pastor says it, but I do believe we have a very friendly, welcoming church. We really work hard to welcome people from where they're at. We also have a very generous church. It's not uncommon that we are meeting just tangible needs in our community where we see a financial need, whether it be a house fire or a car issue or whatever. We try and step forward and be an active solution. I mean, obviously, the biggest solution is Jesus Christ. We understand that. But at the same time, there are a lot of tangible needs, which when the church steps up, I think, and acts like the church, a permission is granted and people have more of a willingness to hear the truth of who Jesus Christ is. So, yeah.
What's your personal story of coming to faith, and how did you know you were called to be a pastor?
My personal story coming to faith, I was actually a young kid. I grew up in a Christian home. My family was one of those families that every time the doors were open, we were there. So I was very aware of the truth of who Christ was. I was very aware of the message of the gospel from a very young age. And I remember the day where it kind of clicked. It was kind of funny because my brother and I were playing in the living room as young boys, and I was climbing on the back of the furniture, and my mom was like, "Knock it off, you know, get down off of there, whatever." And she came in and told me that like three times, and I kept doing it and not listening. Well, my older brother did what older brothers do. He thought that he would, kind of stick it to me. Here's my moment. He looked at me, and this was his insult, which is hilarious. His insult was, "I bet you're not even a Christian." So that kind of tells you how Christian-y my house was, right? That was the insult of choice. And I looked at him and I said, "You know what? You're right. I'm not. Like, I'm not. I've never really done anything with what I know." And my mother was actually on her way back in the room to yell at me again. Overhears this little interaction between her 6-year-old and 8-year-old and says, "Well, would you like to be? Would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to follow Jesus? Would you like to know they have a home in heaven?" And we sat right at the living room table, and she opened her Bible and led me through the plan of salvation. We had a word of prayer, and kind of the rest is history, so to speak. I mean, so that's where I first was like, I had this, I but I really I specifically remember this aha moment as a 6-year-old. I mean, which is, not always the case, but and then fast forward, so I was about the age of 15. I was reading the book Through Gates of Splendor by Elizabeth Elliot, and I would go up to my room every day and I would read a chapter or so of that book. And for those your listeners that might not know about that book, essentially, the story is that these missionaries flew in. And they were going to share Christ with some unreached people down in South America. I don't want to give too many details because people should read the book. Or there's actually videos on it now. It's too The End of the Spear, great video. And ultimately, the guys fly to this beach. They get out to tell these folks about Christ, and they got murdered on the beach. And I remember as I'm reading this, thinking, these guys gave everything. What are you doing? Right? I had these thoughts in my head. These guys gave everything. What are you doing? These guys gave everything. What are you doing? And it terrified me. And I'm like, no, stop, stop. I mean, now I know it was the Holy Spirit, prodding my heart. But it was every day. It was every day I'd read this book and the same question would haunt me. Fast forward, I finished the book. Months later, I'm still wrestling with this question. There are people that give their life. They gave everything. What are you doing? You've been given every opportunity. What are you doing? You're just kind of coasting through life, doing your thing. I mean, again, I'm 15 years old. It's not a normal story here, but I eventually became pretty convinced that God wanted me to essentially just say yes to whatever he wanted and go into full-time ministry. Now, I was convinced, but I was terrified. So I basically said, "God, nope, I don't want to do that. I know pastors, most of them are broke. I don't want to be in front of people communicating any of that stuff. I have no desire to live that life." Well, again, fast forward a couple months, I found myself at a youth rally with my youth group, and it was over Christmas break. And I could not begin to tell you what the speaker spoke about, but I can tell you that when the invitation was given and a song was played, I started to weep like a little baby. Like, and you talk about at this point, I'm 16, my girlfriend's there, my youth group friends are there. Certainly not the cool thing to do, but I was just weeping like uncontrollably. And it was in that moment that I said, "All right, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And I can't say I've really looked back. I've had certainly I've had some hiccups along the way, but essentially from that time on, I just committed to serving the Lord. Worked at Christian summer camps the following summer. I went to Bible college when I was 18, and basically all I've ever done is ministry as an adult. So I had one little short 6 8 month period where I was working a secular job, but outside of that, I've been doing ministry jobs and internships and pastoral work, and that's been the entirety of my adult life. So
You served in ministry for 20 years. What's one
yep.
lesson you've learned that you wish you knew when you were started?
Oh, that's a great question. One lesson. The dial it down to one, huh?
It can be more than one if you want.
I think one of the biggies for me, I think on the personal end is make sure you have somebody that you can talk to. I know that may not sound overly spiritual, but at a young age, as a young leader, we're very idealistic, I guess might be the way to put it, right? We know the answers, or we think we know the answers, and we are convinced on many things. But we as we grow in our knowledge and in our holiness and in our sanctification, and add to the list, we realize we know less and less. But at the same time, we carry more and more on our souls. Ministry is a very weighty calling. I know a whole lot of stuff I wish I didn't know. I've walked through a whole lot of storms with a lot of people. There have been times where people that I have loved have, I feel like they've stabbed me in the back, or they've, or they've fallen into sin. So I think having those go-to people that where we can bare our souls and say, I'm not okay. I need help. I need prayer. Is a very biblical model, right? I mean, Jesus himself said, Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But Galatians chapter 6, we also, it talks about bearing one another's burdens in the Lord. So I think sometimes as pastors, we think that our job is to bear other people's burdens. Well, you know what? Some days we need people to bear ours. So we need to give permission to certain people to get close enough to see our mess, to ensure that we are healthy so that we can more effectively lead people in his kingdom. So, yeah, so I think a biggie for me is just learning to really say, hey, I'm not okay. Asking questions of people, I need help. And truthfully, I think, God has brought some people into my life that, have offered so much wisdom, but quite often, if we don't ask for it, we don't get it, right? You have not because you ask not, right? So we read that in the book of James. So I think that's a big one. And man, I'm trying to think. There's so many lessons. There's so many things. But I would say actually that's probably the biggest for me right now is just kind of learn, and I'm relearning it. It's a constant process. So, yeah.
You're also an avid hunter and hunting influencer. How
Yep.
do you integrate faith and ministry with your passion for the outdoors?
Part of it is, so I've got a fairly large Instagram following, which is kind of funny because most of the people in my church have no idea that exists. It's like my alter ego. I'm this hunting influencer on Instagram, but it's opened the door. I spoke at a sportsman's banquet at a church this past fall. That's something I'm looking to do more of. I'd like to kind of spread my wings and do more outdoor ministry stuff. It also connected me with a gentleman who runs Christian Outdoors ministry, which a big focus of his ministry is a podcast, which is very large. And I've been a guest on that show many times. And then recently, I've actually helped him co-host several shows, and we'll be doing more of that as we move forward. So it really, and again, that ministry really focuses on just that combination of a shared love of the outdoors and a shared love of Jesus. And I think there are just so many barriers are dropped when we are able to connect with people on shared loves. And so part of what I love to do is talk to people that share my passion for the outdoors. And it's not just about hunting, it's just loving to be outdoors. My family and I are avid campers. We spend multiple weeks in the mountains in the summer. We spend time kayaking and fishing and just love to be outside and just enjoy God's creation. And there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus that I'm able to connect with on that level. And in turn, it turns into opportunities at times to love Jesus. So I've hosted a couple sportsmen's banquets here at our church as well, and we've seen a number of people turn to Christ as a result. And some of them were folks that I consider to be friends that, it was just that, but we connected on the hunting side, and in turn, sharing, giving an opportunity to share the gospel, it just connected with their hearts. So I really am kind of actively looking to for more avenues to do that with, because again, the Instagram thing is fun. I share some faith-based stuff on my page, but I don't overtly preach, so to speak. I've connected with a lot of Christians on there. My page is a very family-friendly place, obviously, and whereas a lot of social media world is not. So I really police language and all that fun stuff. But and I'm also actively discussing with some churches currently about opportunities to go speak at their events, again, to share my love of the outdoors and my love for Christ. Because through all this, I've also developed some very good connections in the outdoor industry world. Got some phenomenal companies that I have relationships with, and I've been able to have some meetings with some of these folks. And it was even down at a big sportsman show a couple weeks ago, and helped work at a booth for an outdoor company, and had some lunches with some other folks in the industry. And yeah, it's really opened a lot of doors of, like I said, just that shared love. I think when we give our passions to Jesus, right, it's amazing how he can use those passions as an avenue and an outlet to share him and bring glory to his name. Because truthfully, he wired me this way. He wired me to love the outdoors. So if he wired me to love the outdoors and he calls me to preach the gospel of Jesus, he's got a plan, right? He's got a plan as far as how that integrates and how that can be used for his glory. And not so much from the pulpit on Sunday morning, because I recognize that, I don't have a church full of hunters, right? That's not, but again, what does that look like? So, yeah, so it's provided a lot of opportunities, and I'm constantly in contact with people discussing different ways, I can in different outlets where I can share Christ. And it's really been a lot of fun. And I'm continue like I said, I'm continuing to look for opportunities to host some outdoor events at my own church, but also to go speak and share my love of Christ and my love of hunting elsewhere also.
Amen. And so many people want to grow in their faith but don't know where to start. So what would you recommend as the first step?
I think the first part is have a conversation, right? I think a lot of people are they're asking those questions So like it seems like you're referencing people that have that desire. And I think, a lot of times people assume they are the only ones, right? I'm in this church and everybody's holy and I'm not, or they all have it together and I don't. They have answers and I don't. And you know what? The number one thing, well, maybe not the number one thing, but one of the things that being a pastor for so many years has taught me is that we're all a mess. All right. We all have questions, including the pastor in the pulpit. Like, if he's honest about his faith journey, he is in process, right? There are things that he is wrestling through and struggling. That's why I have so many books, right? It's because I am constantly wrestling through different topics and struggling with it. Lord, I don't understand it, or maybe Lord, I don't like it. And he says it doesn't matter, right? This is truth. So, so constantly there's this wrestling through the truths of scripture. And I think that the best place to start is not to say, hey, what's the next good book or the next podcast, unless it's this podcast. But the biggest thing is to say, let's start with an honest conversation. Because the honest conversation is a blessing to me, right? If somebody comes to me and they say, hey, here's what I'm wrestling with, but I want to glorify Jesus with my life. That chances are that's going to be the best conversation I have in any given week. Because I'm getting called on, tragedies and dealing with other issues, and I'm, leading staff meetings and different things. So to actually hear that someone desires to go to that next level, to me, I don't ever look at them and say, oh, I can't believe how immature you are. I can't believe you. No, that's what gets me ramped up. And that's why I'm a pastor more than anything else. So I would start with that conversation, because I would guarantee you, I'm not alone in that. Pastors and spiritual leaders and godly friends who hear that are also going to be able to answer. It's not a one size fits all question, because those who know us best typically also know what we need and how we learn best. I'll give you an example, a guy in my church who, I've had a couple over the years that struggle reading. And they're like, well, I really wrestle with, I don't know what to do, and we had these honest conversations. And so we utilize things like YouVersion Bible app. You can have it read to you then. That's okay. There's great tools out there. So I think it really starts with a sense of humility, where we say, hey, this is what I desire. God has planted that there, but I don't know how to get there. Can you help me? So I know maybe you were looking more for a specific tool or methodology, but I really think it begins with the ground level, relational conversation, where because everybody's needs are so different. Everybody's needs are so different.
How can your community and our listeners pray for you, your family, and your church?
This past year's been a huge year of transition personally and at the church level. Two of my three kids are away at college. Not at home commuting, but just away. So that's it's a weird transition as a parent. Spent, 20 years with kids in the house, and now I'm down to one. We have one left and he's rarely home. So, 'cause he's the social butterfly of the group, and the athlete of the group. So it's, so I would say that just trying to, manage that transition. I mean, it's different. I mean, I have a very good relationship with my wife. I mean, we're great, but it's still just trying to figure out. It's a new rhythm, right? It's a new chapter of life, and it's going to continue to change. And we don't know what it's going to look like or where the kids are going to end up, or there's a lot of those questions. So I'd say pray personally. I would say pray for my wife and I in that regard, that we kind of figure that out, what does life look like? that way. On the church end, there's also been a lot of transition because as we've brought in these new programs, we took a part-time person this year and made her full-time. We hired another guy full-time, and then we've got other part-time staff coming in to do other things. I mean, I went from, a very small staff to it's growing, which is a great problem, but it changes a lot of things. And it changes a lot of things in what my weekly schedule even looks like and when I prepare. And there's just more time required for staffing and other things. And again, this before and after school program that we have is 100% scholarship based, which means that we created that by pursuing grants and asking people for donations and different things. And I've kind of been the visionary on that. So, so that's a thing that's pulling me in one direction, and then staff meetings over here and whatever. So again, I think just trying to maintain that healthy perspective as my rhythm was kind of interrupted, right? But it's good. It's good that it was. I mean, it's all good things. God is blessing our church, and it's undeniable. We've had an I mean, this past year was incredible, the things he did, but it's also changed a lot about what my job looks like. And at the same time, my family is dynamic has changed with kids going away to college and all that good stuff. So yeah, so I'd say just, those are two biggies. Just pray for that as that transition has occurred and is ongoing in my own home, that we would continue to find that rhythm that God has for us there, but also at the church, as we are in a place of blessing and fruit and harvest, it's also different. And pray that God would help us to find that balance and rhythm as we press forward with that as well.
Pastor John, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for sharing your story and giving us a look at how Heartland Bible Church is serving the Gettysburg community. For those listening, if you're in that area, please be sure to check out Heartland Bible Church and see how you can get involved. You can find more information at heartlandbible.org. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the Local Pastor Profiles podcast at localpastorprofiles.com so you don't miss future conversations with pastors impacting their local communities. Until next time, may God bless you and the work you're doing for his kingdom.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Local Pastor Profiles podcast. I hope you've been encouraged and inspired by the incredible stories of faith, leadership, and service shared today. These pastors are truly making a difference in their communities, and it's a blessing to see how God is using them to advance his kingdom. If you're looking to connect with a local church or want to get involved with any of the ministries you've heard about, be sure to visit evangelicaldirectory.com. There, you can find more information about churches in your area, their service times, and how you can partner with them in serving your community. If this episode resonated with you, we'd love for you to share it with others. Spread the word on social media, send it to a friend, or invite someone to listen who might be seeking a church home. Every bit of support helps these stories reach more people and makes a bigger impact for Christ. And don't forget to subscribe to the Local Pastor Profiles podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. We have more amazing stories to share, and we can't wait for you to hear them. You can also leave us a review. Your feedback helps us grow and continue bringing you meaningful content. Lastly, if there's anything you'd like to share with us, any questions you have, or if there's a local evangelical pastor you think we should feature, feel free to reach out. We love hearing from our listeners and learning how we can serve you better. Until next time, may God bless you, your family, and your community as you walk in faith and seek His will. Stay connected, stay encouraged, and keep reflecting Christ's light wherever you go.